Because I had my diva moment on that set.
At six?
Yes. Also, I wanted to say something. I don't like Coquito.
Well.
Oh my gosh.
I'm really excited. I think the both of us are, because this episode is extra special.
Special.
It's extra special.
You can't speak around.
Exactly. I know. I know. That's how. Yeah. I'm nervous, but excited. No, it's excitement. I always say, you know, it's not nervous energy. It's excitement.
Yes. But they're going into the audition.
Yeah.
You're nervous.
When you embrace the excitement more, it's like it's less pressure.
But you're nervous because you care.
Yeah. Oh, I like that. Okay.
Ooh, deep.
Okay, deep.
Because you
can. Okay. I know. today is the first post-strike episode. And today, in the heart of December, we have a Cali native.
Yes.
A
true leader. She's funny. She's talented. And honestly, the realest, most down-to-earth person you will ever meet.
Aww.
The one and the only, Chelsea Randle! Hey! Yes!
Oh my God, I'm so excited to be here.
Hi, thank you so...
Thank you for being
so
here.
So excited. Yeah, how are you? How's life?
I'm good. I'm a little bloaty because I went up to Solvang a couple days ago.
You went where? You did what?
Solvang.
Okay. Oh, Solvang.
Solvang by Solvang. Santa Barbara.
Yes. Oh.
It's like little Dutch country.
Solvang.
And so like Solvang. I drank a lot of wine and I didn't realize how bloaty it made me until like, I was like, yo, my stomach didn't look like this 2 days ago. So I'm actually doing a dry December.
Oh, are you nice. Serious? That's yes. hard. Well, that is very I'm difficult.
Gonna go to December? Well, technically. So I'm going to Vegas for New Year's. So as of December 30th, I will drink.
Okay.
You know what I mean?
Okay, yeah.
Like from
saving
here
it.
To there. I'm going to be like,
that's
some good, strong willpower there. Ooh,
you know, you
but that's
do
great.
What you
that's
do.
What does do it, does it, does it keep you from sleeping? Cause wine for me doesn't allow me to sleep at
no,
night.
No, so it puts me to sleep.
Yeah, oh, wow.
We went to sleep at like 10:30.
Wow. That's amazing.
Yeah. Like that's the thing about Solvang. You literally go and you start drinking from 10 in the morning and every, like the vineyards close at 5 and then the like tasting rooms close at like 8 or 9, but you're in bed by like 9 or 10.
Mm, yeah, that is true. That is true. Everything closes. Is it Solvang that's or Solvang? Fine.
Solvang.
Solvang.
It's with a G at the end.
But is it pronounced like that too?
Because I would say
Solvang.
Solvang.
Like I don't know.
Solvang.
You're more proper than me, but me know the proper way.
I don't know. I actually don't.
But
know.
Let me tell you, I literally was traumatized. So I went to the ostrich and emu little farm that they have out there. Uh-huh. Never gone there before, but I thought my boyfriend would love it. He's an animal person. He didn't drink, so he was just going to be with me, and it was a little staycation. So I'm like, that's what we're gonna do to end the trip. I cried. Like, I literally, my body was traumatized because they're so big, and they're beaky, and they're aggressive.
These
and
are
like,
ostriches?
The ostrich and the emus, and their feet or their, like, things look like dinosaurs. So it's like, why are you existing now? Like,
that's creepy.
I literally cried. Like, I literally was like, I don't want to be
here. Like, you were scared?
Yeah, I was like, I want, like, can we move? Can we move?
Interesting.
And my man's just like, look at their feet. Look at their talons. Oh, this is what guts them in the wild. And I'm like, stop saying that. So by the end, I literally like was shaking. And like my boyfriend's like, well, let me drive. I was like, no, let me focus. Let me focus on driving because I'll get over it. But as I was driving, it wasn't getting any better. We had to pull over like 10 minutes as we were driving and he had to take over driving. But I was literally like shaking. I was crying.
Because was it because it was so overwhelmingly, like they were grand, like they were just so.
Yeah, they
like,
were just so alien-ish? Big and yeah, almost alien, like almost like
you've never.
Wait, why are you looking at me with your big little evil creepy eyes and you're ooh. Like one of them actually tried to like pick the little bowl out of my hand. They tell you have to hold it with two hands because they will try to get it. So it's just creepy. So I'm like,
wow.
Yeah. Don't recommend going there if you are afraid of big animals.
You know, apparently emu oil is supposed to be really good for your skin.
Wow.
Emu oil. It's the kind of the oil from the bird. I don't know.
Oh, I was going to be like, what's emu?
I tried it once.
Yeah.
You did?
And I don't even know what the difference is between them. They're both just all creepy
ostrich
and long and blue. And wow. The thing is, the only thing, like, I've never seen them in real life. I saw them as I would drive by sometimes. But I remember the Kevin Hart joke where he was like, there was an ostrich looking at me and I was looking at it. It was looking at me and I was looking at it. And then like it took off like a cheetah or something. And I'm like, so that's the only thing that I know about them. You know? But literally.
Did you expect to have that kind of reaction?
No, I was expecting to be super cute. Uh-huh. Like, let's feed these little animals. Like, it's like a little petting zoo. Like, let's go. And I literally like from the moment like I was feeding the first ones, I'm like, no, this is aggressive. No, I don't like this. I don't like this. And then like my boyfriend was just like, oh, but it's cool. It's cool. And I'm like, no, I don't like this. I don't like this. And then I'm like literally crying. And he's like,
oh my gosh.
I was like, I don't want to. You do it. Like,
well, so no idea. So you won't be going back to Silvang.
So I'll be going back to Silvang, but not to that
part.
Got
it.
I'm like, I love Silvang.
And not drinking as much wine.
I'll drink the wine.
Well, yeah,
but I just
got
to plan it. You know what I mean? Well, actually, I drink a lot less because, again, like I said, my boyfriend doesn't drink. So I was like, okay, I'm going to go to one vineyard and then we could do like one tasting. When normally I hit like three or four vineyards to start the day and then end in the tasting rooms and do like one or two or three tasting rooms. So like when I go to Silvang...
Yeah, that sounds amazing.
Oh yeah.
Well, how
we
has
do a girls trip?
Silvang.
Jack has a membership up there.
Are you serious?
She has a membership everywhere. Jacqueline Grace Lopez.
Hey girl.
Right. I feel like somewhat relieved because the strike is over, so there's a little more liberty. I mean, obviously it's not going to be, we can talk about whatever you're comfortable with. If you don't want to put some things in, you can be like, scratch that out and we'll
I'm an open
that.
Book I say everything.
Yeah, that's what I love about you. Mm-hmm. What I learned is well, some people may not know, but Chelsea was one of our strike captains who kept us in check while picketing. And let me tell you, if there's anyone to be a captain and to lead shit, it's Chelsea. How was that experience? Because I haven't spoken to you until after.
Yeah, it was beautiful and also really bad. So with the strike and being a captain, this was also the first time I had got a day job. And being in a restaurant, being on the strike line, I never realized how much in a bubble I was in the sense of being a brown woman in the world and being like a short brown woman. The level of disrespect I got on the strike line is ridiculous.
Really?
And like, I literally had grown ass. And the truth is, the people that did it were white men that would literally get in my face and be like,
are you serious?
Like, you need to shut the fuck up or don't tell me what to do. Like literally multiple older white men would like literally get in my face. And I like, we're taught to de-escalate the situation. So Chelsea wants to be like, what the fuck, bitch? Mm-hmm. You know? But strike captain has to be like,
set the example.
Can somebody help? You know what I mean? Like, but even, you know, at work, like when I work as a host and I'm trying to like see people, but my restaurant's very laxed. So half of the time, you don't have a host, only at night you do. Mm-hmm. So some people are just used to walking in and I'm like, oh, excuse me. No. And I'm like, no, excuse me.
Yeah.
Hi, I'm sorry. I'm the host today. Can I? Oh, no, I was just in myself. And I was like, I understand that. But right now at night, we have a host. So I need to see you so that everything could be, you know what I mean?
Right.
And just people just rude. You know, it was very eye-opening and very disheartening and like very hard to like process all that. Because it was mixed in with the like excitement of having a first job for the first time and mixed in with the excitement of feeling the community on the line because now we're not in the rooms and we don't have that anymore.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And so it was like, I want to go, but then also like, I feel like I'm like stabbing myself a little bit every time. Like I'm hurting myself a little bit every time because it was almost every day. Like I actually had one car try to hit me.
You mentioned.
And I'm stopping traffic at a crosswalk. And there was this old woman with a walker crossing the street. And so there was maybe like 10 seconds left on the stopwalk. And it's like, this lady's not going to make it. So I'm trying to tell the cars, hey, give us a second.
Yeah.
This woman, like, please, this older, elderly woman is coming. And one guy's like, and his windows were up, so I couldn't hear anything. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, sir, like, please, like, calm down. And he moved his car forward. And like, luckily I had my sign in front of me. So he hit my sign and not me. And I bounced back and I jumped back. And then two like male captains came over like, whoa, what are you doing? And then the lady was able to get past and then we let them through. But, you know, it was an experience. Wow. And I don't know if I would sign up again.
And you're volunteering.
Yeah, we're volunteering. Yeah. And so I don't know if I would do that again.
It tested your patience. And
yeah. And also, like I said, just being a Latina woman in the post-Trump world is something very specific. Mm-hmm. And again, I didn't realize I lived in a bubble, being around amazing friends or being around Latinos or being customers at restaurants and people aren't being rude. Like, I didn't realize it. Mm. But like the level of disrespect and just like rudeness, I was just like, man, you know what I mean? Yeah. Like, and there was a couple times I did cry talking to friends, like being really like hurt. And then not only that, but then the other people that are like, oh, it's fine, just chill. Or like, no, I'm going to get on the street to take a picture and then I'm going to get off. And it's like, no, like people have gotten hit by cars. We're doing this for your safety. We're not doing it to be a bitch. Like, I remember with the Latinas acting up, I had to tell a few people like, no, people have been hit by cars. And then they're like, wait, what? I didn't know that. And it's that's why we're telling you, like, we're here for a reason.
I do remember feeling a shift of energy and like the agreement, the mutual understanding of everyone that was picketing, where it got to a point like we have to listen to the captains because at this point there's a safety issue.
Yes.
At first, I feel like we were like, no, what I'm going to do it. If I want to cross, I'm going to do it. And we weren't listening. And then it got to a point where you really had to get aggressive in a way of like, no, we're protecting you for a reason. Yeah. And then later on in one of the last months, I was like, oh yes, I feel like we're now understanding where they're coming from and we need to follow them and respect what they're saying.
Yeah, I think some of it went in the press. Like there was actually a guy that was showing up and giving death threats on a motorcycle to different captains. I think it was at Disney, Warner Brothers, and Paramount.
Just a random guy on a motorcycle?
Excuse me. What? Yeah, and so he ended up getting arrested. And I think that went public. So then I think that might have given people a little like, oh, wait, they're not joking around.
Yeah.
I know with the Latinas acting up, I told them very clearly, like, yo, this is what we deal with. And like, we need you, like Lisa and Deanna, tell everybody else to like, just kind of be respectful.
Yes.
And then on top of that, just when people have seen, like, then there was accidents that almost happened that people saw that then scared them and then had them calm down.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it was a mixture of things. But yeah, it's like, it was crazy. It was crazy out on these streets.
Are you? Wow. I'm sure you're glad it's over.
Yeah. My feet too, man. I got plantar fasciitis.
I know.
Dehydration. Yeah. Are you serious?
Yes, I got plantar fasciitis from being on the picket line and then having a day job.
That's no joke.
So that's why I have my Hokas. I was just gonna say Hokas are in there. That you're like, wait, what? Yeah. So my feet.
And also the frozen water bottles. I heard.
Yeah, I do that. The roll out my foot with the frozen water bottle.
That is.
But then I ended up in the hospital with dehydration and heat exhaustion from the picket line and from work. And Jaina, we went to dinner for Jack's birthday and I had literally gotten there from work and I went to the bathroom and threw up.
Oh yeah.
And then I came back and I'm like, I don't know if I'm okay. And like the restaurant, and it was like a fancy restaurant, so they're like, are you okay? What do you need?
Oh, they gave her whatever. an ice pack
for like my neck and my head. And I'm like, I just need to eat. I just need Coke. I'm okay.
I'm drinking bread.
And I made it through. And then the next day I ended up in the emergency room. Yeah.
Jeez. You have been through it.
And also it's lack of information. Cause people always said, drink water, drink water. And now when I'm in the hospital and they're telling me like, oh, your like salt level in your water intake needs to match up or something. And I'm like, what? And then it's like, oh no, you need electrolytes, not just water. So then why is everybody always said just drink water? Cause then I think I'm good drinking water.
Right. Mm-hmm. The sodium and the.
Yep.
Or the salt.
I know. Anytime I'm hungover, I always drink the Essencia water because it has all of alkaline water, all that stuff to balance out that stuff. I'm not a scientist, so I don't know the proper wording.
I'm like, I drink a Coke when I'm hungover.
Really?
You what? I drink a Coke.
Yeah.
I love me a classic Coke in the glass bottle.
Oh, yeah. Mexican Coke's is
Mexican Coke. Classic.
They make it with real sugar versus the corn syrup.
Yes.
So it tastes better.
Oh man. Well, I from the bottom of my heart, thank you for your service.
You're a volunteer. Your time.
Yes.
And also, I feel like people need to be a little more aware.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know, and just be a little more considerate. Like you were taking the time out of you know, your summer, and you did that. You did that. All the captains did that yeah. for free, and it's not an easy thing.
And that this is a thing that we see in any type of customer service, you know, work. I used to be in customer service, and anytime I'm like dealing with, you know, someone in customer service, like I'm just trying to like, you know, put myself in their shoes. I can't yell at them. It's not their fault. It's not your fault that we can't cross when the light is red. No, there's a reason why we have to follow those rules. I can't yell at you because that's not your fault.
Right.
Why am I going to yell at the customer service person?
And I think that's part of where the internet comes into play is that people lost actual connection and actual interactions where they're just so used to this. So it's like, well, if I could post this in 30 seconds, why can't you give me my food in 30 seconds? And it's like, because this is a restaurant, we have to cook it. Like, you know what I mean? Like, so I think a lot of that is social media and the internet in general that has really shifted things, which is why people are even more aggressive and also just feeling entitled.
Impatient. Yeah. Entitled. Ooh.
Entitled. That's the word.
Deep.
Yeah. This was.
And one, you were volunteering. Two, customer service people do not make enough money to be treated that way. Mm-hmm. Like, just in general, treat customer service people like with respect.
Right.
It's not their fault.
Yeah.
I had a Verizon situation and the lady helped me. She like came through and I was like, thank you. It's not your fault. It is the company's fault. It's not your fault. So thank you so much for understanding where I'm coming from.
Right.
And that's how I hope everybody else.
Well, and the truth is, there are little tricks that they can do if you're nice.
If you're nice, but they're not going to do it to you.
Right.
They're
like,
not going
to. Even if you just express your frustration and be like, gosh, I'm not taking this out on you. I know you're trying to help me, but I know you're the messenger and you're trying your best. But, just to communicate. Yep. Feelings 1,000% a long way. It's never there.
Yeah, I know. It's never. No. But well, so girl,
now that we're done, hold on a second.
We're done venting.
I know we're like getting it all out. Now this is something that I think I knew this, but it was all confirmed. You have like 43 credits and counting in your TV and filmography credits, but you've also been acting since you were 7.
Yes.
I didn't know that.
So I actually don't know my number of credits. I haven't looked that up, so I should be aware.
It's like 43.
It's incredible.
It's 43.
But yeah, so I professionally started acting at 5, but when the stuff that I really did was like 6 and 7.
Okay, so many questions.
Yeah.
How did that even happen? Was it your idea? How did you get into it? Like,
so I always say I came out the womb ready to perform. And like, I was just like, hey, you know, I was always an outgoing kid. I always jumped on all the couches and tried to perform stuff. And people had been telling my mom ever since I was born, pretty much like, oh, you should get her in the business. But my mom grew up in East LA. She didn't know what it was. And so she never thought about it until we actually went to Circus. When I was 5 years old, and I decided to pass out in the middle of the casino. So literally 5-year-old little Chelsea just falls to the floor. And my family's there, like my Nina, my tias and stuff. And everyone's like, oh my God. People are gathering. They were calling security. And my mom's like, Chelsea, get up. And she's like kicking me. And then finally I'm like, what happened? Where am I? And like totally played it off. And then I was like, okay, we should.
That was an act? That was just a performance?
No, it just was fun.
And your mom knew you were acting?
My mom knew.
She was like, cut it out. Get up.
They're going to like, say something. So then that's when my mom finally, or actually a neighbor friend of mine was also going to a casting call. So we went. But it was one of those things of like, give us $5,000 and we'll do some classes or whatever. Yeah. And so my mom studied like paralegal stuff. So she ended up calling Channel 5 and Channel 7, and they literally just gave her the number to an agency. That was it. And then so my mom called the agency, and then they're like, well, if you're serious, take some acting classes and get some headshots done and then come back. So then I started acting classes. I had headshots, and then we went back. And it was literally to the point where I was 5, so like I couldn't read. So my mom would have to like say the lines to me for me to memorize them, and then I would say them back.
Wow.
And then we went back to the agency and we started working with them. I remember, I think the first thing I ever booked was a commercial where I had to pretend that I was handicapped. So like they had me in a pool, moving my arms and then like sitting on a like wheelchair. And then at the end of it, it was in Spanish. So the lawyer was like, todo para los niños. And I was like, it's todo para los niños. And then he's like, todo para. And I'm like, it's todo. And like, I kept correcting him. And they had to have my mom come in and be like, don't talk. Like, don't say anything. And then finally I was like.
What?
Then I booked the lead of a feature film that I did called No Turning Back. And it was funny because I remember in the audition process, I think it was the last audition, they asked me if I would cut my hair. And I'm like, no. And they're like, oh, well, you know, blah, blah. I'm like, no. So then they went and they called my mom into the room and we were talking. And then she took me to the car and was like, hey, look, this could be a really good opportunity. Like, your hair will grow back. And I'm like, but I don't want to cut my hair. And like being like a little kid about it. She's like, no, but that. And I was like, okay, fine. You know? And then so I went back in. I told him yes. And my mom ended up saying that they gave me the job in the room. They're like, but we still have two or three little girls to see because we want to be respectful of their time. Mm-hmm. Just wait in the car and then come back. So I like booked it and it was a couple weeks of like rehearsal before we actually got on set. And my mom said that at the final table read was the first time that she was like, oh, this is your career. Like, this isn't just
wow. You, like, were this what, is, you were what?
I was six.
Six. Baby.
I was a baby.
Let's look at little Chelsea.
Oh, yeah. Right here. Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
And then you should show the one. There's those two that I'll send. One has longer hair. And then the other one is when I got a bowl cut for the movie. So I literally was playing a girl playing a boy. Because the storyline was that the dad accidentally run over a little girl and killed her. So then we're on the run. And my character in the movie wanted to be an actor. So he's like, all right, let's cut your hair and let's pretend you're a boy. So that they're looking for a man and his daughter instead of a man and a son. And so I literally had a bowl cut and I was on set. And I remember filming on Venice Boulevard. And my mom said that people were like, oh, who's that cute little boy? Oh, that's a cute little boy. And they literally thought I was a boy.
Yeah. That is wild. How what was that like for you? Were you just kind of, did you feel right at home and in on the set?
Oh, yeah. Like it was my playground. Like, and that's the thing. Even now, I look at set as play, like, and it feeds my soul. Yeah. And I'm like, I want to get back to work. Yeah. So like, when I've gone longer periods, I'm just like, I want to play.
Well, yeah. I mean, pretending to faint and have that.
That's like, so that's funny. Right there.
Wow.
Yeah. But yeah, I remember. And then also, again, as actors, like, we're treated like royalty on set. Like, you know, so it's like, do you want cookies? Yes, I do. Do you want water? Yes, I do. Do you want this? Like, you know, you have like little trailers and stuff. And like
little snacks.
Yeah. I'm like, so for me, it was everything, you know? And I remember it was funny because I had my diva moment on that set.
At six?
Yes. And, sorry, I was like, I saw that in my eye. I remember at Video Village, everybody was sitting in a chair, like directors and stuff and producers or something. And I remember walking up to someone and being like, I want to sit down. And then they're like, oh, yeah, yeah. And my mom's like, no, it's fine. And I'm like, no, but I want to sit down. Like, I want to sit down. Like, and that was my like, I'm a star. Give me my seat. Uh-huh. And my mom pulled me to the side and she's like, if you ever act like that again, we're done.
Ooh.
And I was like, okay. And then that was it. So like, that was my diva moment of like demanding a chair at Video Village.
Yeah, because you don't strike me as like this child actor who's sort of, you know, I mean, there's a certain energy that child actors have.
No, and again, it's my mom. You know what I mean? Like
she put you in check. Yeah, and again,
it was the smallest little diva moment, but like that was my diva moment. You know what I mean? Like, I want a chair, me.
And I know I can get it because I can just ask for anything I want and they'll say yes.
Yes.
Wow. Yeah. Well, kudos to your mom for being like, we're not going to act this way.
And then also a balance of, I was never a series regular as a kid. Mm. I guest starred or I did movies. Mm-hmm. So I still had a normal childhood. Mm. I was always in public school. So I literally am like, I'm the Latina Hannah Montana having the best of both worlds. You know what I mean? Like being able to work and stuff and then being able to have a life and go to homecoming and you know what I mean? Like,
You did go to prom and you did do all
I did go to
things.
Prom, but not my school prom because there was drama at the time. And I was dating a guy from the rival high school. And I used to date the star basketball player And so then, like, whoever I brought around was now the enemy. And I'm like, man, forget you people. And, like, I was mad at everybody. So I went to Sher's prom, even though I hate Sher. Literally, like, I'll meet adults today. And then we're like, oh, yeah, I went to Sher. I'm like, whack. Like, it runs
Dang.
Deep.
I love that.
That is. Well, at least you had the normal childhood. Yes. Like, at least you got to experience both worlds.
Yeah. Oh, and then again, I was a little rebel drinking at 10 years old. But it wasn't on. It wasn't like in the tabloids and stuff because nobody cared who I was.
Is something interfering with your happiness or preventing you from achieving your goals? Regardless, if you have a clinical mental health issue like depression or anxiety, or if you're just a human being who lives in this crazy world and you're going through a hard time, therapy can give you tools to approach your life in a very different way. And that's why I'm excited to tell you about today's sponsor, BetterHelp. BetterHelp's mission is to make therapy more affordable and more accessible. And this is an important mission because finding a therapist can be really hard, especially when you're limited to the options in your area. BetterHelp is a platform that makes finding a therapist easier because it's online, it's remote, and by filling out a few questions, BetterHelp can match you to a professional therapist in as little as a few days. It is so easy to sign up and get matched with a therapist. There is a link in the description of this episode. It's betterhelp.com/afterwerap. Clicking that link helps support After We Wrap, but it also gets you 10% off your first month of BetterHelp so you can connect with a therapist and see if it helps you. Finding a therapist is a little like dating. If you don't really fit with that therapist, which is a common thing with therapy, you can easily switch to a therapist for free without stressing about insurance, who's in your network, or anything like that. Right before I was ready to start therapy, I remember talking to a friend who recommended BetterHelp. And honestly, that was my introduction to therapy. And it was super simple, easy. And I remember connecting with someone and I couldn't believe that there was a service that was just simple. Like it was stress-free. I didn't feel like I had to go through this difficult process of, like, you know, the process that you go through to try and look for a therapist. So it definitely was a really, like, good experience into my therapy journey. If you're struggling, please consider online therapy with BetterHelp. Click the link in the description or visit betterhelp.com/afterwerap. Thank you again, BetterHelp, for supporting this podcast. Well, how are you getting drinks? Bebidas and
everybody's parents has drawers of just alcohol. You know what I mean? Like, and it was like,
you're just like, oh, so interesting.
Just going in people's drawers.
That is.
I grew up in Montebello.
I used to do that to my mom.
I drank between fifth grade and eighth grade, and then I calmed down in high school.
Are you kidding? No.
That's why, like, that is from, like, from high school to like 18, I was kind of chill and it would be like, oh, for a party or this or that. And then around like 20, when I was hanging out with Renee and them, like when we first met, that's when I was like going hard. Cause it's like all of them were going hard. So I'm like, yeah. But like by the time I hit 22, I'm like, I'm tired. I'm like,
that's what would always strike me about you is that I always felt like you were an older soul. Like you're very young, but you seem so experienced and mature and like, you've lived this life. Mm-hmm. I mean, yeah, if I were drinking at 8, 10 years old, I'd be like, I'm done.
It was partially being in the business. You had to grow up. I started raising my niece at 15. And then I do have traumas that I experienced as a child. So like, there's a lot of reasons why I feel like I'm mature for my age and why I've always hung out with older people. Cause I remember when I invited like Renee and Soph to my 21st birthday in Vegas, they're like, wait, you've been drinking with us for years. And I'm like, but I'm turning 21. You want to come to Vegas? Like, and they're like, yeah, but I'm just confused.
Oh my gosh. That's wild.
Yeah.
It was
a wild trip for my 21st birthday in Vegas. My mom went because me and my mom are like super tight. Mm-hmm. So my mom went, Renee's mom went. It was like, so Renee, Cisco, Al was there.
Oh my gosh. Friend,
Ugo, like it was a crazy group. And like, I remember we got a party bus from one casino to the other And it was a couple $100 for like a 10-minute ride. But it was like, wow.
So yeah. Because, yeah, now you're in your 30s. Like,
yeah, I just turned yeah, I'm turning 31 in March.
Wow.
But I'm like, you know, Jack told me, and like all my friends told me, like, oh, you're just wait, you're 30 now. Yeah. My back hurt. Like, again, I got plantar fasciitis as soon as I turned 30. But I'm
happy
good.
Birthday.
Yeah, but yeah. I'm like, technically it was being on my feet. Because also, again, Latinos only get 3% of work in this business that we do, right? Mm-hmm. And then for me, the pandemic till earlier this year was dead. Like, I did an episode of Lucifer February 2020 before the pandemic started. I did a play for the New York Times in like September of 2020. I shot like a short in 2021 at some point. And then a voiceover gig. But like legit for like 2.5 years, I did nothing. Mm-hmm. I was like laying around my house. And I would like work out or like hang out with friends. But like I wasn't actively doing a lot of stuff. Mm-hmm. So for me, it was a mix of literally laying around for 3 years and then being on my feet.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, I think if I would have been working more, I think my body wouldn't have reacted the way it did. But like, I finally started getting some momentum again at the beginning of this year. I did a short, which is actually premiering this weekend. I'm excited about.
Ooh, okay.
And then I did an episode of Lopez versus Lopez. Was my sitcom, which was so exciting and so nerve wracking. And then I shot an indie film that's a comedy in Albuquerque. So like February and March and like the end of January is I think when I shot the short. And then February was the episode. And then right after that, I left to Albuquerque for 3 weeks. So I'm like, yes, I'm feeling like a performer again.
Strike.
And then it's like, oh yeah, the strike.
And now the strike.
Damn.
Yeah. So like, I'm really hopeful that like some momentum's going to come in, you know, I think they're like pretty much done with the feature. So hopefully they'll be shopping that around and it'll be going to festivals before like coming out officially. But just having something to like talk about.
Yeah.
I'm doing something.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Let me ask you, when you were growing up in the business, did you have anyone that you looked up to and you said, I hope to one day get to where she is? Did you ever have a role model growing up?
No, not really. Because I was in the business, I didn't realize there was a lack of representation.
Uh-huh.
Because I was on set and my mom would be Latina. My dad would be Latino. Mm-hmm. My brother, whatever. Like, I saw
it. Was normal.
So I didn't realize it literally until I booked Vida. And then we're doing all these diversity panels. And oh my God, it's a great thing. And I'm like,
What the heck? Okay.
Okay. You know, again, I watched The Cosby Show and Moesha and felt connected.
Yes.
And I felt seen. You know what I mean? Like, I didn't realize there was a difference because my mom, honestly, like, I know it's one of those cliche things like, oh, I don't see color. But like my mom never raised me to do that.
Yep.
So again, I felt connected to the Cosby Show and I wanted before, you know, horrible things came out. But like I wanted him to be my dad.
Yeah.
You know, because my dad wasn't in the household. Mm. You know, I watched Moesha and it was like, oh, man. Oh, look at the brother. Oh, look at this.
Like,
you know what I mean? Like, and so that's what I connected to. Or remember watching Brothers Garcia on Nickelodeon, you know? And so I'm like, I didn't realize that there was a lacking, you know what I mean? So like, you know, when I think of now people I looked up to or I look up to, it's like Denzel Washington or Viola Davis, you know what I mean? Like now that again, I think of all the like Latinos in the world and Latinas, you know, I've always respected J-Lo's hustle and her, you know, booming of everything and being a part of everything, like Salma Hayek's talent, you know what I mean? Like, so I look up those to those people, but I also watch specific things. Like I watched ER and Friends as a 7-year-old, which I probably shouldn't have been watching that. But I remember when I worked on the episode of ER, I was so excited because I was going to meet George Clooney. I was like,
We're just talking about George Clooney.
And then I didn't meet him. He left.
Oh,
and I was so scared. I was so sad. I mean, and then I was so scared to work with Dr. Weaver. She was the mean one, the one with the cane. And she was the nicest one.
You do like a good medical drama. I've realized that. You love your medical shows.
I love procedurals.
Universe! You do,
do you hear procedurals?
I love procedurals. I like, I just, SVU. My dream one day is to do a character like Mariska Hargitay as Olivia Benson in SVU. Like the badass, like cop character. Yeah, yeah. But also you see her vulnerable in different points and different aspects.
Yes,
but like,
I can see that.
She's a survivor. You know what I mean? Like one of my dreams is to be on Grey's Anatomy and Station 19.
The universe is listening.
I'm like, maybe the universe will book me on a crossover.
It's listening.
Yes.
Well, I know, but that. I literally have this whole storyline in my head of like, okay, Andy's the captain now. Now, if they bring in a young Latina boot, you know what I mean? Because now she's here and she was there. And then you see that, like, oh, that could be beautiful. Because the last time you guys had a boot was Warren.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right.
So I'm like, I've been telling my friends, like, I'm putting this out in the universe.
I love this.
You're going to be a new boot, and it's going to be me. It's going to be me.
I love that. I love that. But your age range is very wide. Like, you can play... Super young.
Yes.
And then you can play late 20s. Like, how has that
it's
shifted
not
at all?
Actually really as big? Because, like, I'd have auditioned for stuff that's like high school. Mm. And then they booked the 21 year old. You know what I mean? So, like, I don't necessarily fit that. But now, if you gotcha. Put me into something with an ensemble where everybody's in their 20s, then yeah, I could play high school, okay.
Yeah,
you
yeah.
know, with everybody there.
Right.
But that's where I feel like I've had the hardest time the last few years because. I looked at my castmates from Vida, Carlos, you know, booking station,
right.
Meli going on, blowing up, Misha, Robert, like, I'm seeing all this, and then I'm like, okay, wait, where's my turn? Like, yeah. where's my duck? Yeah, yeah. What, you know? And I had to, like, balance, take a breath, mm-hmm. take a step back. Mm. Nothing's wrong with you, but everything you've auditioned for is 30s or a mom. You don't look that way.
Yeah.
It's okay. But, like, I got, like, hard on myself for a little bit, sure. and I had to kind of check that. So, like, realistically... When things are mid-20s, I get a producer session. I get a callback. I move forward.
Mm,
you know what I mean? Mm. Like, because I have a baby face, but then I have a stronger, like, mm-hmm. personality sort of thing. So it's a weird balance. But, like, the indie I did, she's a mom. And you don't never, like, I think it was technically like 30 that the character was supposed to be. But the writer-director wanted me. He, like, we had a meeting. It was, like, an offer-only situation. And so I'm like, oh, this is cool. And I remember watching it being like... Oh, I look like a woman. Like, oh, you know what I mean? Like,
that's
I'm
exciting.
Like working in an office and I have a blazer and I'm like, oh, I can do it. And honestly, I think I really needed to see that because I think I also get in my own head.
Yeah.
And so.
Yeah. But you're bound to have the longest career because if you look, I can't even imagine what you would look like when you're 40
uh-huh.
still playing. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
The yeah. early 30s, late 20s, yeah. you know?
So
I mean,
like, I was so proud to be. I'm like, I'm 30 now. Book me and yes. other things. But it's like, no, I still look the way I look. Yeah. It's okay. But yeah, no, and that's the
beige
thing.
Don't age. Beige don't age. Latin is satin. Black don't cry.
Latin is satin.
Brown Asian don't fry. Brown don't fry. Asian is Asian don't raisin.
Yeah. And there's all the things.
All the things.
But yeah, so like, I, again, started at such a young age, so I know I'm going to do it till forever.
Yeah.
But it is hard when it's like, specifically, this is the thing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You know, I remember actually when I booked Vida, I had just cut my bangs. And I was like, oh, yeah, I'm going to try to look really young because around that time, a lot of young stuff was coming out. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, okay, well, let me, you know, I'm going to try to be younger and be younger. And then I ended up booking Vida, which my character was 21, but then people thought I was a high schooler. Because I had a backpack, because I rode around on
that's
a bike.
True. Yeah,
and it's like,
yeah,
no,
yeah.
she's a ghetto little Mexican that's not a girly girl. Like, she's not going to have a purse, you know? And we actually actually talked to Tanya going into season 2 of like, hey, can we put my age out there? Because people are calling Ramses a pedophile because Tlaloc is like hooking up with like a teenager sort of thing. And like, I just want to make sure that they know he's not, you know? And so like literally episode 1 of season 2, it's like, the Carlos is like, oh yeah, I forget. You could drink. Yeah, go ahead, have a drink. So that we're like acknowledging that.
Gotcha.
We acknowledge that I was in community college, gotcha. Not in high school, you know? So
that's good.
I'm
that's
like, okay,
good. This is
way to pay attention on that detail.
I know.
Yeah.
That's
wow. I am just like, I admire listening to you talk. First of all, I just admire the fact that you didn't need an idol to like, you know, feel like you needed to find a place to fit. You just did it. You went in. All yeah. you. This yeah. is what I got. Take it or leave it. This is right. who I am. Thank you, Mom, for taking care of me. And you just showed up and you mm-hmm. did it. And I don't need an idol to show me that I can or cannot do it. You just went ahead and did it. I'm just listening yeah. to you. And I'm like, fuck, I wish I had that growing up, too. You know, because I always look for
again,
the idol.
It's the beautifulness yeah. of being in the business.
Yeah.
That you are it. You are the one doing it. You know what I mean? Like, and... Like I said, I didn't realize that there, like, again, I think I knew because there wasn't as many Latinos on the TV, but I didn't realize, like, it was affecting people from feeling seen.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah,
I didn't realize didn't that feel, aspect
yeah.
of it.
Yeah.
And so that's why, like, I'm so proud. That's why I feel like I'm an activist now. Like, I always, like, try to help the underdog or the kid that was being bullied at school sort of thing. But, like, now, like, I really, really advocate for, like, all Latino representation. Like, I was still texting people, like, are you watching Blue Beetle? Are you watching Blue Beetle? Did you go? I went opening weekend. Where are you at? Where you know what I mean? Like, so that we can do that. And it was something where I feel that so much more now, because now I know about it, that I want to push for it, you know? And I just didn't know it back then. And I didn't feel any lack.
Yeah.
Like I said, I was on the set. I was doing the thing. You know, my family would be there. And again, I got treated so well. You know what I mean? Like when you think about, like, again, something that's in the contract is like hair equity and like getting a consultation for makeup and hair, because Afro-Latinas or Black artists, they don't have a makeup artist or a hair person that could do their hair. And like, I don't remember who told me this, but a friend of theirs that was a series regular literally would go and get her hair done every day before going to set because they just wouldn't know. And I'm like, how is that possible?
And that's new now in the contract.
And that's a new thing. Wow. And so it's like, how is that possible? Because again, I'm a Latina. I have easy hair. You know what I mean? Like, I'm honestly, my mom and my dad just gave me really good genetics, because everyone's like, what do you do with your skin?
I know. She washes her skin with bar soap.
I used to use Dove soap.
I'm so upset. I don't even want to look at her.
I used to use Dove soap until maybe about like 5 years ago.
I think I remember asking you, what do you use? And she was like, Dove soap. Like bar soap over for your body? Like... For you put it on your face and it looks that smooth and clear and
and then like hair people are like, your hair stays so well, like when they curl it and they style it, it stays. And like makeup artists come and just like dab sweat or something, but I know they don't have to
you
touch
don't
up and
need
stuff.
So like I you have, don't need any kind
well,
of
well I have makeup
oh you do? Yes, do you do
but I do the natural most.
The natural
it looks
natural.
You look like
what do you have makeup tell. On
I mean I, yeah I
I'm like you that. Look natural
no,
too
oh really
no I literally was looking back at pictures and I'm like wait I like it's super chill, right? Like I was gonna wear like a pinker lip, but I'm like, oh,
it's very
super
chill.
Chill.
It's very chill.
We would like, be wearing pajamas if we.
I know.
Had.
No, I was gonna wear sweats. I was, but I didn't know if I was gonna have a blanket. Yeah. So I was like, let me just wear pants just in case. But I'm also, like I said, I'm an open book. I literally unbuttoned my pants before I sat down so I could be more comfortable. So I like perfectly
you're hiding,
placed the blanket.
Yep.
That's what
I'm like.
I feel like
look, I'm back at the gym, but I also eat a lot. So I'm like,
it's
your workouts look so.
Oh yeah, you be working out
awesome.
Like 6 a.m.
Oh,
so that was only one day because I was literally literally only because I was going to Solvang that I was in the gym at 7 in the morning.
Okay,
but normally I work out at 10.
But don't you work out with Shakira?
Well, yeah, I work out at Rise. So yeah, right now she's not at Rise right now, but I found Rise.
Right, so
personal training through JJ, Shakira, Rick, a bunch of Latinos in Hollywood were working out there. And I was like, I want to go. And I actually went June 2020 is when I officially started. Mm-hmm. I tried to start February, but I went to two sessions before everything got shut down. So then I went back in June. And from June 2020 to June 2021, I had lost like 18 pounds.
Wow.
I lost like 8% body fat. Like, I was like, let's go. And then I was consistent for like another year. And then money-wise, I had to take time off and I had to take a break. Yeah. So like I just started back September 18th. So it's been like 2.5 months.
Okay.
Almost 3 months. And like the first month I was like really like, okay, I got to be focused and I was doing a little bit. But then it's cold. So I just want soup.
I know. Comforting
food. And I just want like
birria
ramen all the time. So it's like that's ramen. Bad. So that's why I'm saying like December, I'm like, okay. You're paying the money for the gym.
Dry December. Dry
December. Yeah. I'm like, I said, I literally had birria ramen 3 days in a row. And I literally went Friday, Saturday, Sunday. So I'm like, okay, I can't do birria ramen in December. Like,
I've never had birria ramen. That sounds amazing.
Well, I had birria. Was it the tacos that you...
That's chicken birria. Or like that's birria where you just put
birria
it in
where
the
you,
consume.
Okay, okay.
But birria ramen is literally
I've never had that.
Birria with ramen.
Ooh.
Like, so think of a cup of noodles.
Yeah.
With birria.
Ooh.
Delicious.
Ooh, that sounds amazing.
Shit, now I want some.
Yep.
Okay.
With a side of Coke.
Okay. With a side of Coke.
really quick, because we're in the holiday spirit.
Yes.
Is there a holiday memory that from your childhood that stands out to you? Or is there a tradition that, like, growing up, you know, how do you keep tradition alive? Has it changed?
Well, we always have tamales for Christmas. And, like,
do you cook them?
No. We buy them. What? You know, and my brother made a good example the other day. He's like, the time that it takes versus the reward isn't balanced. Okay. Like, because it takes hours to make it.
Is tamales like a specialty for Christmas?
Well, at least we do. I feel like for my family, we always do. Okay. And then my mom and my brother make the joke all the time. I think it's like a George Lopez joke with, like, you know why we get tamales for Christmas? So we have something to unwrap.
Oh, my goodness.
Mexicans are poor and don't afford
gifts. Oh, my gosh.
So they literally say that, like, every year.
What's your favorite tamale?
Tradition. My favorite? The Puerco Rojo.
Okay.
Yeah. I know. I found my new favorite spot. I used to get it from a spot in East LA called Tamales Liliana's. That was like my go-to all the time. But then they started getting a little bit more expensive. I was like, what are you doing? What's going on? And then I found one in the valley called Me Gusta Tamales.
Oh, that's cute.
And they are actually better. They're more moist and they're bigger. And it's like the same price. So like the last 3 years, that's what I bring to my family.
Okay.
And then they're like, okay, I signed off on this. Okay. Keep bringing them. But I think I can't think of a memory from my holiday, but the first thing that popped into my head was my niece performed for her school. My niece is legally blind. So she went to the Blind Children's Center Hollywood.
Yeah.
And they had like a performance. Mm. And so they're in these like little white outfits with these little tutu sort of things for the girls. And they're like passing the mic. Each kid like sang a line or something. And my niece sang her part. Oh, I'm sorry. She took the mic from the little girl instead of waiting for it to get handed to her. And then she sang her part and then she wouldn't pass it to the next person. So the teacher had to come and take it and then give it to the next person. Mm. And like, again, everybody thinks it's adorable. It's cute.
Yeah.
But so like that is like the holiday memory that popped in my head.
Yeah.
First.
That's sweet. Yeah. That's sweet.
Okay. Lastly, before we get into the this or that. Okay. What is your dream role in a Christmas movie?
Yeah. Oh man. Honestly, I don't know. That's really hard. I thought you were just going to say, would your dream role be? And I want to play a serial killer.
I mean, you can
killer.
Say your.
No, I want to play like a dual personality serial killer.
I could love that's that.
Like tucking the bed.
Yes.
I could see you as
good
that.
Night, sweet kids.
And that's then, your like, Christmas horror
she, like,
movie.
Chops up people in the basement. So that's like one of my dream roles aside from like the Olivia Benson sort of character. But
I could actually see
in a Christmas
like
movie, I just like, I like being, I'm a very strong person. So I want to be able to show my softer side. Mm-hmm. So like just being in a rom-com in general is one of my dreams and one of my goals. But when I think of a Christmas thing, I don't know. Like I don't think I watch enough Christmas movies to have an idea.
Mm.
But something where like, maybe like she's like super dainty. And maybe she's like a damsel in distress Christmas time. And like, and then the love happens.
The love happens.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
I don't know. My dad just changed the brakes on my tires. So I'm like, maybe like my car's messed up. And then the handsome man comes down the road with the snow plow and was like, let me help you, little lady. And then
that.
I'm like, oh, thank you.
I love that.
Can you tow my car over here? You know, oh, that, you know, is what pops into
very
my head.
Very delicate. I like that. Very,
very, very delicate. Yes.
Yes.
That is hilarious. But I could totally see you as playing a serial.
Yeah. Oh, my
And
gosh.
It's again, I'm like, and again, they say that specifically in relationships, like you could be the most feminine with your partner.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, I see a bug or like I see a scary movie Freak and up. Then I can't sleep with the light off, like I need it on, and then I'm like, babe, like again with the emu, I'm like, babe, get me out of here.
Oh my
when
gosh.
I could have walked away, but right. I'm like, I want him to make, help me, yes. make me feel better, you know.
Oh,
so I am
goodness.
A little damsel in distress sometimes.
Yeah, I could see you play both. Oh my goodness,
that's so
hilarious. Get me
so
out of here.
Funny.
Okay, we're gonna do a quick this or that.
Yes, you want me to start?
All right,
I'll start. Okay. Don't even think. Just
okay,
say the first
think,
thing. Real tree or artificial tree?
Real tree.
White lights or colored lights, sorry.
Colored.
Eggnog, coquito, or hot chocolate?
Hot chocolate.
Mm. Home Alone or Elf?
Home Alone.
Opening gifts on Christmas Eve or Christmas morning?
Christmas Eve.
Ugly sweater, ugly Christmas sweater or festive pajamas?
Festive pajamas.
Santa Claus or Frosty the Snowman?
Santa Claus.
Yeah. Store shopping or online shopping?
Store shopping.
Yes. Handmade gifts or store-bought gifts?
Store-bought.
She's with like, you on whatever that. Gets it done. Holiday ham or turkey?
Turkey.
Oh, you're fast. Secret Santa or white elephant? Isn't that the same thing?
No, they're different. Secret Santa.
That's right.
Secret Santa. White elephant means that somebody could take
that's, someone. That's right. Yeah, I do. I don't like the, yeah, the white, yeah.
Because then it gets a little
I guess it, like calm down.
But you only have two times, right? You only two rounds or you can exchange. After the second one, you can't do it again.
Yeah, that is
At
true.
Least that's how we do it in my family. Yeah.
Well, I don't really do it, so that's why I don't know.
Okay.
candy canes or Christmas fudge?
Fudge.
Yes. Fudge. All right, this is a Christmas parade or watching holiday movies?
Watching holiday movies.
Hell yeah. Hell yeah.
Oh my God.
That was so much fun. Chelsea, I kind of feel like so much more freedom and relief now that we get to talk about.
Oh yeah,
we can actually say
names. Yeah, because we didn't get to do that for the longest. So I feel like just you come a little more to life.
I know,
and you get to talk about the things
I
that excite
to
you.
Say something.
What?
I don't like Coquito.
Are you kidding me right now?
I don't think I've tried Eddie's, so maybe I should try.
But wait. Whose did you try?
Well, I tried one chick from Latinas Acting Up gave me one.
Okay.
And I tried a different one, I think. And it was just, I don't like it.
How dare you?
Well, wait, but I also don't like eggnog.
Okay.
But do you like coconut?
No.
Oh, okay. Then you're definitely not. Okay, I see why. I see. Yeah. I can't.
So you just like hot chocolate or fudge chocolate?
Yeah,
that's chocolate. Your go-to. Okay.
Literally
okay.
chocolate. Anything okay. chocolate. If
good
you come
know.
At me with anything other than chocolate, I say
so
no.
I feel like your palate is a little more just like basic. Like just very simple.
I'm basic. You're well, simple. Also, I don't have a great sense of smell, so it affects my taste.
Oh,
which I didn't realize until like a couple years
interesting.
Ago.
Interesting.
But like, I don't like I'm the weirdest little Mexican. I don't like beans. I don't like the texture. I don't like onion or cilantro.
¿Qué?
Yeah. Even with salsa, I can't do spicy. And I blame
who
my nose and my
are you? Who are you? I know. I'm fucking pissed. No, I'm just kidding. But like, I can't. I did not know that.
What
wow.
a way to end the episode.
I mean, I think I kind of remember that one time we went to dinner and you ordered and you were like, I don't want this. I don't want the beans. I don't want the. You didn't. Yeah. You're just very simple, plain.
But this I might be a little bougie, but I'm basic.
Bougie and basic.
I love it. Well,
thank you.
Are so appreciative
that
you came on and just chit-chatted with us. And, you know, we got to know a little bit more about Chelsea Rendon. I'm telling you, she's just a firecracker.
I've never heard my name like that.
Chelsea Rendon. How do you pronounce it?
Chelsea Rendon.
Oh, then you. I get that.
Rendon. Rendon.
Oh yeah,
oh,
where
yeah.
can we find where you on socials and stuff like that?
Again, a basic bitch. My name is just at Chelsea Rendon.
On Instagram,
yeah. I don't think there's a lot of Chelsea Rendon, so it was just there and I got it and it was easy.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, thank you so much.
Thank you.
We love
so
you.
Much again.
We are, you know, always in awe of you and supporting you, and we are so happy that you came.
Well, it is and mutual.
We're so happy that you chatted with us. Let's end this in a British accent.
We can end it.
Well, we had
like
so
this.
Much fun. And,
oh, no, please do not make me do this.
Yes, we will. We'll catch more of you in all your future endeavors.
I don't know what
kind of accent was that. Anyway. Okay. See you next week.
Ta-ta. Bye-bye.
TTIF.
Au revoir.
Ta-ta for now. TTFN.